Let's go now to Alex, who's listening in Austin, Texas. Hi, Alex.
Hey, Patrick. What do you think about the theory that the policies of the church are selected and designed by men, those that are most championed, designed by men in order to propagate the church itself, to result in more Christians.
Self-perpetuating?
More Christians. Yes.
Okay. Well, it's interesting you raise this, because last week I had a call from somebody else on the same, it was the same question asked somewhat differently, and his question had to do, I'm a practicing Catholic, and I'm just tired of all the rules, and everything's black and white with you, Patrick, and you always see things in black and white, and things aren't black and white, and what about all these man-made rules, and aren't these rules just sort of edicts handed down from on high, from the ivory tower, that's the phrase that he used, from people who don't really deal with regular life. So your question sounds similar to that question. Would that be a fair comparison?
Similar, I agree, but I think mine is more from like an organizational psychology, or like an organizational intelligence type of approach. Like the organization sort of has its own self-defense and self-replicating components built in. So I think it's a little bit different.
Okay, so let's take it from that point then. Are you married? Do you have kids of your own? Or, I mean, at the very least, you remember when you were a kid back under the roof with your mom and dad, right? Okay.
Yep.
So let's take a look at that. That's an organism, a family unit, mom, dad, and the kids. And you had rules and you had customs and requirements and things. And I think it would be fair to say, and that would be for the self-protection of the family. Dad didn't go out. Dad was not allowed to go out and gamble his wages or drink them away. Mom was not allowed to waste all of her time eating bonbons on the couch watching As the World Turns, because she had to make sure the house was clean. Now, I don't know if your mom stayed at home, but if she did, you know, or if she was working outside the home, she had to get up at a certain time and report to her office at a certain time. And you kids had certain duties and chores. And those are all man-made rules. Every single one of them, all man-made. But they were for the benefit of your family, and it was to protect your family and to propagate your family. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to propagate that. So let's use your family, or any family, as an analogous jumping off point and say, let's just posit all of those same things about the church. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, plenty of man-made rules. Some of them come from God. Some of them come through men, the appointed men that Jesus established to be the original bishops, the apostles, and they were given the task of Jesus to govern, to sanctify, to feed the sheep, as Jesus said to Simon Peter. He told them, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So there's a sort of grant of authority to organize. So any entity, whether it's the global 1.3 billion member Catholic Church, or if it's your family comprised of, you know, fewer than 10 people, or a bank, or a radio network, or, you know what I'm saying? Any human entity that involves a grouping of people, it naturally has certain unifying principles and rules and things that are intended to make its existence as easy as possible and to perpetuate its existence. Your own body, for example. All of us, we experience our bodily functions as a concerted effort to not only keep us alive, but to propagate the race. So, yes, that's true of your body, your family. It's true of the Catholic Church. So I guess if I'm understanding your question correctly, Alex, and correct me if I'm not, but the answer would be a hearty yes to what I think you're asking me. Does the church have all these self-perpetuating protective rules in place to propagate itself and to ensure its continued after something?
Yeah, quick follow-up. So thanks for that response. What do you think about the distribution of resources in the church and in Christianity as a whole? Like, what I see a lot of is, there's a lot of politicking around anti-abortion and anti-contraception and also against gay and trans rights, which don't help the propagation that we've been talking about. But how do you feel about like the distribution of effort among those things, like this propagation effort and the self-defense effort versus other initiatives of the church, like charity and and helping and promoting peace, that sort of thing. I feel like there's a little bit of an imbalance there, or maybe.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't have any quantifiable data in front of me, but I mean, I'm sure you sound like a very thoughtful person, so I'm sure you know that the single largest, most comprehensive organization when it comes to charitable works is the Catholic Church, globally speaking. And the unbelievable amount of money and human power, human man hours that goes into feeding the hungry, clothing people who need clothing, homes for unwed mothers, free medical clinics, free food, soup kitchens, orphanages, hospitals for indigent people. The list goes on and on. So yeah, I guess you're probably right. There is vastly more of those charitable works that are going on all around the world by the Catholic Church than there is any talking about, say one day out of the year doing a pro-life march in Washington, D.C. It really is imbalanced. You're right about that. There's so much more being done in terms of charitable works than there is on things like demonstrating against abortion. So I guess that is really a big imbalance. You're right about that.
I'm not sure if you're intentionally misunderstanding, but I'm at a
minute. Oh, no, I understood you. I understood you, but I wanted to put into context, because I think... I think what you wanted to do is to suggest that there is some disparity or an imbalance in that people are too caught up in, say, the pro-life movement, but not nearly as busy in trying to help people who are poor or refugees or things. But it's exactly the opposite in actual fact.
Maybe I should have reframed it as a personal perception of a misallocation. And I would choose to continue to support the efforts of the Catholic Church on the side of charity. And I acknowledge that there are probably, like, by dollars and hours spent, there probably are more invested in charitable works than there are in promoting these propagational policies and things. But I will continue to personally root for those more charitable acts than the other, which can... like have other complications, like making...
You mean like where people die in abortion? It's less important when it comes to people who die, innocent people who die. Is that what you're saying?
People's medical rights are infringed and autonomy over their own bodies. I mean, that's a whole... We know that.
Think about the fetus's medical rights, who are infringed every single time an abortion is perpetrated. Every single time an abortion happens, somebody dies. But I guess that's not that important, huh?
Well, it depends on your perception on how important human suffering is, and I have some unpopular opinions on that.
I imagine you
anyways.
Do. I imagine you do.
But my point is, it's really easy to root for...
Well, let me ask you a question. No, you raised a point. It's fascinating. So people who don't have enough food, they're suffering. I grant you that, and we should do everything we can to help them. But who suffers more, the guy who goes hungry, who doesn't get a hot lunch, or the person who's killed? Which of those people do you think suffers more?
What if it's...
let's use that scenario.
Well-trained in this area.
Let's use that scenario.
What if it's a person who's in a coma?
No, let's use that scenario. I just gave you a scenario. You have a guy who's homeless and he's hungry because he didn't get lunch, and he's suffering, no question about it. Who's suffering more, him or the innocent unborn baby girl who is dismembered in the womb in a late-term abortion? Who suffers more?
Is there evidence for consciousness? And
that's not my question. Who suffers more?
If you believe suffering is a function of a conscious mind that makes memories, then the hungry man, because he has that capacity, and the fetus does not.
So you're saying that a guy who misses a meal and is hungry, he suffers more than a person, an innocent person whose life is ended, in this case through dismemberment, crushing of the skull.
An unconscious being, yeah. It's like...
Yeah, but that's not an unconscious being. And see, here's the thing, Alex. I think you know that. I think deep down inside you know that, if I had to guess. And if you don't know that, I'm shocked. Somebody as thoughtful with such a big vocabulary as yours if that hasn't occurred to you by now, that's shocking.
Well, I feel like, I mean, you haven't presented any evidence or any clinical evidence that there is a sense of consciousness for the unborn or even, you know, even infant children. Like I said, unpopular opinion. Don't accept.
Yeah. So, but it comes down to, if nothing else, innocence in human life. So if I understand you correctly, and tell me if I don't, you're okay with, or at least you place more value on, the hungry homeless guy who missed lunch. His situation, as important as it is, in your view, is more important than the unborn child who is going to be killed, in this case, through dismemberment. I just want to make sure I understand where you're coming from. Is that right?
Sure. And if I could guess, are you going to say, what if it's like 5 minutes after birth?
No, I'm not going to say anything more. You have outed yourself pretty thoroughly. I don't need to really say anything more. I think it's sure. Your argument stands on its own merits or demerits.
Yeah, and it's because of the absence of consciousness specifically and the level of development of that organism that I believe that. You know, I'm open to arguments to counter that, but like I also eat meat. You know, I believe that that harming animals for my own benefit because of their lower level, in my personal, their suffering carries less weight for me to be.
Got it. Well, I understand. I feel bad for you, Alex. I don't say that to be mean to you, but I can't imagine going through life putting yourself first in what's important for you over somebody like an innocent person who is going to be killed because abortion is legal. Gosh, we have so much to talk about. I have to take a break. I do invite you, Alex, so call me back another time. Let's continue the conversation. I appreciate it. I'll be right back with more of The Patrick Madrid Show right after this quick timeout.
For more of The Patrick Madrid Show, visit relevantradio.com/Patrick.